You may be seated. In the gospel, it says, I can do nothing of my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus said, I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the heart, right here, in that statement. This is the heart of Benedictine spirituality. Laying down our will and picking up the will of God. Benedict says that we are, quote, to give up our own will once and for all. And to, quote, prefer nothing whatever to Christ. If I write a book, I probably ought to title it that. That was a joke. Anyway, okay. Thank you, David. Though the Rule of St. Benedict was written primarily for monks living in a monastic enclosure, it presents sound principles for working together and living together in any Christian community. The rule has been a faithful guide for the church for over 1,500 years. It has something to say to us. The Rule of St. Benedict is the basis for all Western monastic rules which followed. It is relevant today for both Cenobites and for Christians living in the secular world. Benedict wrote his rule in some of the most troubling times in history. But what is interesting, those are times that are not that different from our own. Let me give you a brief comparison between Rome in the late 5th century and our own time. Rome in the late 5th century was experiencing some of the most corrupt government ever. The emperors were corrupt, weak, incompetent, or simply apathetic. There was no moral code within the empire. The Senate was powerless and heavily divided in support for or against the emperor. Sounds sort of like a Senate I'm familiar with. And of course, Rome fell in AD 476 when the last Roman emperor of the West, Romulus Augustulus, was deposed. The church at that time was in disarray. It had spent the last 100 years adapting more and more to the social norms. Many of the clergy were uneducated, many were poorly trained, and morality within the clergy, it was at best on the decline. The enemies of Rome had revived. Byzantium was growing powerful and becoming a rival from the east. And Constantinople, its capital, was growing more and more influential and attacking small sovereign states. Can anybody say Ukraine? The Germanic hordes were amassing to the north, and a steady stream of foreigners were flowing into the empire. Rome had been rocked by pandemic and disasters. The tottering structure of society had been weakened by a series of pandemic diseases. Or maybe it was only one pandemic disease with variants.
Seven.
Raging inflation was a direct result of these pandemics and the supply problems that came from them. Domestic spending on things like infrastructure had been neglected for far too long, making it even harder to ward off the barbarian hordes. And the average citizen simply had no trust in governmental leadership. The attitude of the citizenry was one of deep despair and decadence. People were tired. The old values that had built the empire had long been abandoned, and the new value system of Christianity had yet to really take hold. And this led to all sorts of nihilism in both the elite and the common man. And that fostered a general distrust between these two groups, which created class warfare. Into this morass stepped a young Benedict who had come to Rome pursuing an education. Seeing the crass paganism of Rome, he renounced the world and fled to Subiaco, which is about 30 miles east of Rome. There he settled in a cave and began life as a hermit. There were many young men who were attracted to his devotion and asked to come under his tutelage. But there were some among those who rejected his authority and attempted to poison him. They first brought him a poisoned chalice, and as he said the blessing over the chalice shattered. Another group brought a poisoned loaf, and a raven swooped down and grabbed the loaf before Benedict was able to take a bite. That ended the attempts on Benedict's life. Others began to join him, and he left his cave to help them found Christian communities. He established 12 communities with 12 men in each one of those communities. And recognizing that they needed structure, they needed discipline, he drew up his rule based on a number of previous rules. The local clergy, though, grew envious of Benedict, and they asked him to leave. He moved about 80 miles south of Rome and established his monastery on Monte Cassino. And there he died in AD 547, quote, of a fever. It was probably the pandemic called the Justinian Plague. But Benedict had created his rule based on the rule of the master and other early monastic rules. But what had made his rule unique is both its simplicity and its clarity. The rule of Saint Benedict offers definitive direction on ordering both our individual lives and corporate life. What he had seen in both the rule of the master and the rule of Saint Basil was complexity. As Benedict states in the prologue, quote, in drawing up its regulations, we hope to set down nothing harsh, nothing burdensome. And the life of the community is to be arranged such that, quote, the strong may still have something to desire, and the weak may not draw back. Benedict does not try to anticipate every possible circumstance, nor to address every potential problem. His instructions are spare, clear, and succinct. And he sees his ministry, according to the prologue, as setting up a, quote, school for the Lord's service. A school for the Lord's service. And later he describes his rule as a little rule for beginners. I think I can say I'm one of those. So what does any of this have to do with us? What impact can monastic spirituality and practices have on our lives here in the 21st century as clergy in the Charismatic Episcopal Church? What does it say to us? Can those of us who live outside the monastic enclosure apply these disciplines to our lives? I believe the answer to that is a resounding yes. Benedictine spirituality offers a template to guide us through the maze of the modern world. For Benedict, the spiritual life lay in simply living this life well. His direction is that we prefer Christ in our everyday choices and in our everyday chores. He would have each one of us seek and minister to Christ in every person we meet each day. He says that, quote, your way of acting should be different from the world's way. The love of Christ must come before all else. Your way of acting should be different from the world's way. The love of Christ must come before all else. We need, brothers, we need a disciplined spiritual life to overcome the influence of the secular world. Much of the Western Church's practice is based on the rule of Saint Benedict and has been for 1,500 years. Our daily office is a conflation of the divine office you will find in the rule of Saint Benedict. The ecclesiastical order that is defined in the rule of Saint Benedict, with the understanding of the place and purpose of the abbot, informs our church hierarchy. I heard a number of you mentioning about the abbot having a crozier. It's a model for our ecclesiastical order. And even our form of consensus government in the CEC is found in chapter 3 of the Rule of Saint Benedict. Read it. You'll see. For us as clergy, we must practice a disciplined spiritual life in order to help others follow Christ. Those under our care will never rise higher than the level to which we attain. Why would we not want to reclaim the heart of spiritual discipline found in the rule of the Father of Western Christianity? The spiritual discipline found in this rule will instruct us and encourage us and equip us to deal with this modern world. It is not my design to give you a detailed academic study of the rule of Saint Benedict. What I want to do during this retreat is just whet your appetite, encourage you to dig deeper into the spirituality found in Benedict's rule and in Benedictine spirituality. I intend to supply a series of simple meditations on 5 of the general themes of the rule and give you time to meditate and contemplate on those themes. After each meditation, I will give you some leading questions, so bring something to write on, your journal or a notepad, and I will give you questions, and I hope and I pray that those questions will lead you into a deeper walk in Benedictine spirituality. The Fellowship of Saint Benedict discussed these themes, and what I present is a consensus of that gathering. So it's not just my idea. It's the consensus of the Fellowship of Saint Benedict. And what the members of the Fellowship have found is that these disciplines have helped keep us focused, especially during this very difficult past 2 years, it has helped keep us focused and to carry us through the trials and tribulations of these troubled times. We commend it to you. Jesus said in the gospel today, "I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." It is a message for our day. But let me let Saint Benedict give you the final word. He says, "Listen, my son, to the Master's instructions, and incline to them with the ear of your heart. Cheerfully receive and put into practice the admonitions of your loving Father, that by the labor of obedience you may return to him from whom by the sloth of disobedience you have gone astray. To you, therefore, my message is now directed, who, giving up your own will once and for all, take up the strong and most excellent weapons of obedience to do battle for Christ the Lord, the true King. But as we advance in the way of life and faith, we shall run the path of God's commandments with expanded hearts and the inexpressible delight of love, never departing from his guidance and persevering in his teaching until death, we may, by patience, share in the sufferings of Christ and may be found worthy also to share with him in his kingdom." Amen.